Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our Thursday podcasts are a grab bag: songs, personal statements, dramas, jokes. One thing I'll be including every now and then are sermons that ended up shaping our work as a congregation over the course of several years. The first of these is today's offering, Into Deep Waters, which Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig shared on February 14, 2010. Jennifer's challenge to us to follow Jesus into a time of searching and questioning drew us into an examination of what it means to welcome people into our family, one that is still ongoing. I'm sharing it today because of its lasting impact on our congregation.
Will you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There are many images of boats in Christian art. Often the boat is a symbol of the church, a small craft protected from the waters of chaos by a master. Jesus rests easy in our boat. Jesus commands peace to the powerful waves. Jesus' footsteps are miraculously secure walking on the water. And Jesus speaks to us with a strong and loving voice, "Push off into the deep water and let down your nets. Do not be afraid." So it was after a long night of fishing with nothing to show for it that the master tried to tell us how to do our job. And with some reluctance, we would-be disciples pushed off into God knows what and received more than we could reasonably handle. Our nets were beginning to break. Our boats were nearly swamped by the great catch of fish. There's no direct suggestion in this story of a miracle, but it is at the very least unreasonable. Why fish again this morning when we are weary of work last night? And how are skilled fisher folk like ourselves, unsuccessful just a few hours ago, amazed this morning by a great catch of fish? This master, this Jesus, never ceases to amaze us with abundant provision, even when we disciples are deep in grief, when we have lost someone we love, when we've lost our sense of purpose, when we return to ordinary fishing, the risen master meets us with a breakfast of fish on the beach. The Lord's abundant provision is in the beginning and the end of our good news story. As the gospel goes, Jesus leads a new movement. God knows why he chose our boat, but choose he does. And we scramble after him to be fed and to find our vocation. In our Mennonite branch of the Christian family, we have a collection of famous woodcuts by Jan Lütgen illustrating a book called The Martyr's Mirror. One of these woodcuts features a boat. Many of the images in The Martyr's Mirror depict torture, and so they're not the sort of things that you want to look at very often, but this image is really significant for many Anabaptists. It shows Peter Pieters Beckjen, who lived in the 1560s in the city of Amsterdam. He was a boatman, and he offered his small craft to the Anabaptist believers in that city. Peter's boat actually became a safe space, a safe place to hear the word of God while floating on the Amstel River. You see, in 16th century Amsterdam, it was a hostile place for Anabaptist believers. Peter's boat was a refuge for teaching and for discipleship. Because Peter had created this safe place in his boat, and because he discreetly refused to baptize his infant child, he too was eventually handed over to city authorities, tortured, and burned to death. It happened in February, 441 years ago. Now in Luke chapter 5, there are two boats, and one belonged to another Peter, Simon Peter. That's the boat Jesus chose. By design or by accident, we don't know, but choose he did. Jesus got into Simon's boat to teach the crowd, and Simon Peter was never the same. His deep awareness of his own sinfulness, his willingness to follow Jesus, and his vocation all began to shift at once. And maybe being so familiar with the waves on the Sea of Galilee, Peter was well suited to the vulnerability that is true discipleship. I like to picture Jesus teaching from the boat, a little way off from the shore. You see, over the years, Christian teachers and preachers have had pulpits built up around them. Sometimes church architecture even lifted up the pulpit until the preacher was actually overhead, way above the heads of the people, higher even than our balcony. And I suppose this had some value because then the gathered community would actually listen up when the good news was preached and taught. But it also created this illusion of superior status or superior faith, dividing leaders from their people. But that wasn't Jesus. Oh, yes, he was the Holy One of Israel. But Jesus made himself vulnerable. He stepped into our boat. And the Bible says he sat down to teach. A lot of the images from this in Christian art of this passage show Jesus standing up because we can hardly imagine he would be sitting in a small fishing boat. No wonder the crowds followed Jesus. The Bible says they were pressing in on him to hear the word of God. This fall and winter, our congregation began pressing in to hear the word of God. We committed time to intentionally listening for God's word and discerning God's dreams for our congregation. Our pastoral team, which I lead, includes Pastors Meg and Jason and pastoral elders Tina Beachy and Lonnie Yoder. Together, we prepared a statement to share with our church council, which we did a couple of weeks ago, and now we share with the whole congregation. It's this yellow half sheet that is in church mailboxes this morning. There will be more available at the end of worship. You don't have to look at it right now, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it. On the first side is a listing of when we noticed God's faithfulness to us in this process. It's kind of like a timeline. It begins in August 2009 and moves into this month, February 2010. I'm going to read some of the statement on the other side because I think we're being called not just individually, but as a congregation to push off into the deep water. After dwelling in the Word and allowing God to speak to us through the story of Jesus healing Bartimaeus from Mark 10, the pastoral team, believes God is calling Community Mennonite Church to deepen our spirituality in 2010. We recognize that God's call to us may not always feel comfortable, but we believe together we can, and then we list three ways we believe God is calling us. Now, pushing off into the deep waters is not comfortable. Luke reports that Simon Peter is initially reluctant. Frankly, it's against his better judgment to go with Jesus' plan. Master, we've worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets. There are three ways in which we believe God is calling us to deepen our spirituality in 2010. The first is to enrich our prayer practices. As a community, in our households, individually, and whenever we gather for worship and work and fellowship, we're called to prayer. We, pastoral team, and many of you, heard this call to enrich our prayer life through the Bartimaeus story when the blind man cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." In fact, he says it again, even more loudly. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." We also heard this call to enrich our prayer life as we listened to the Spirit's word through brothers and sisters who dreamed of CMC becoming a people of prayer, not always doing, but also being with God, dwelling in the word, waiting on the Lord, standing still. For some of us, prayer is a haven, a lifeline. But for many of us, prayer is the deep water where we're not always comfortable. In prayer, we are not independent individuals. In prayer, we're not even just interdependent community, but as one Christian writer puts it, in prayer, we become extra dependent. This is giving everything in order to depend on God. It's actually an image of discipleship in our story. At the very end, they released everything and followed Jesus. Prayer is deep water. Our scripture reading this morning about Jesus in the boat, the great catch of fish, is not directly about prayer, but perhaps some of us at CMC recognize ourselves as fishermen who worked all night and still suffered from emptiness. For some of us, prayer has been like that. And there's also that terrifying prayer of Simon Peter, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Deepening our life of prayer will not mean achieving a placid spiritual state. We may be calling for mercy like Bartimaeus, or like Simon Peter, confessing our fear of the very Lord who calls us by name. Both of them were on their knees. As pastoral team, we believe God is calling CMC to deepen our spirituality in 2010 by enriching our prayer practices and, second, by following Jesus in our relationships with persons who are gay or lesbian. God's call does not always feel comfortable. But we heard this call as we spent time dwelling in the Word and hearing Jesus' question to Bartimaeus and to us, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to Jesus, "Rabuni, let me see again." We also heard this call to follow Jesus in our relationships with gay and lesbian persons when many of you identified dreams for the congregation. Clarifying the church's response to persons who are sexual minorities is deep water, and it's been fished before. Like Simon Peter, like me, maybe you have some reasonable reservations about pushing out into the deep water like this. There are nets to wash, after all. There are other things, other people, other issues, other ministry that seems pressing. Let me clarify a couple of initiatives we as pastoral team envision for this year in relation to this part of God's call to us. We want to practice skills for dialogue on difficult issues, and we want to plan a congregational discernment process regarding sexual orientation and Christian sexual ethics. Now, it would be just great to practice dialogue on difficult issues first and get really good at that before we talk about homosexuality. But friends, this is the deep water. In faith, we bring our nets as they are, and we practice and learn to trust as we go. It's not comfortable to put this issue on the table when it's been under the table for some time. Is homosexuality akin to left-handedness, against which prejudice seems ridiculous? Or is homosexuality more similar to being born with a disability that brings hardship and should not be celebrated? Or is homosexuality more like addiction that needs intervention and healing? Or is there some other better analogy? Are there five scriptures that speak directly to this issue? Two in Leviticus, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 1 Timothy? Are there other scriptures that we will need to navigate this deep water? And how do we bring our readings of scripture and experience of the Holy Spirit together in a community that could be divided on this issue? We want to create a safe place for asking these and other questions, for discerning a future that is faithful in our contemporary context. Scripture, Spirit, and community. This is how Jesus' followers have always found their way in deep water. There's hope and even salvation, but it's not comfortable. If Community Mennonite Church would like to circumvent the biblical, theological, and spiritual work related to this set of concerns, then you don't need or want me as your leader. For me, the deep waters are only navigable with a deep trust in God's revelation through Jesus Christ. And I have learned it best dwelling in the Word in the company of believers. I think we can create a safe place for this deep work. For some of us at CMC, this initiative will seem too much, too fast, too soon. This could swamp our boat. For some of us, a spiritual discernment process will seem too slow, too much of a distraction, too encumbered. There are nets to wash, after all. My sense is that our process on this issue will be episodic. Kind of like the Gospel of Luke, it hangs together, but different people dip into the process over time. We will be learning to trust God, trust leaders, trust one another, trust a process. For some Mennonite congregations, the process of discussing a Christian response to sexual orientation and homosexuality has rocked the boat so vigorously that the chaos overwhelmed them. My own sister belongs to a Mennonite congregation that takes a traditional and vocal position on this issue, even though she does not agree with that position. Her congregation is a result of a church split when the original church decided to affirm covenant relationships between two persons of the same sex in the same way that they affirm marriages of a man and a woman. I've been close friends with pastors of both congregations. I'm not unaware of how fragile is our fishing vessel. But there is also resilience, and now some, I'm thinking 12 years later, shared ministry between these congregations and within their conference. As a pastoral team, we recognize that God's call to us may not always feel comfortable, but God is calling CMC to deepen our spirituality in 2010. And together we can enrich our prayer practices, follow Jesus in our relationship with persons who are gay or lesbian. And we believe, thirdly, that we can respond to the invitations of the Holy Spirit. As a congregation, we heard this call to respond to the invitations of the Holy Spirit when we listened to the Bartimaeus story. There are two stunning and contrasting moments in that story, both of which are Spirit-filled, pivotal features in the mission of Jesus. On the one hand, Jesus stood still. That's when he sees Bartimaeus. On the other hand, the Bible says Bartimaeus sprang up. Jesus stood still, Bartimaeus sprang up. Not every good effort in Jesus' name will be one that CMC takes up. We want to develop enough spiritual sensitivity to know when the Holy Spirit is inviting us as a congregation to spring up and say yes and join with some missional partner in our community. And we want to have enough spiritual sensitivity to know when we wait and stand still, and when we say no and rest. I hope that you can see that these three ways of deepening our spirituality are interrelated. Prayer will enrich our discernment. The Holy Spirit's invitations to local mission will prevent us from becoming inward focused, even as we address difficult issues. This is where the fish come in. Jesus, the Son of God, Son of humanity, miracle worker, prophet, and priest, is a movement leader. His mission is that people like us will push out into the deep water, not for some spiritual exercise, but in order to catch up others into the net of God's love. The good news is that Jesus is in our boat, and he is Lord. In Luke chapter 5, the God-centered teaching mission of Jesus Christ is signaled by an abundant provision of fish. Jesus is a movement leader who is calling people from a familiar life into the deep water of discipleship and mission. We will never be the same. For Simon Peter, this experience with Jesus provokes repentance and redefines his vocation. That doesn't sound very comfortable to me. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. CMC, I think we've reached a threshold in our relationship. Some of us are starting to realize that our expectations for this new lead pastor are not quite met. I don't know you all as well as I should. I haven't been to all of your homes. I haven't invited all of you to ours. I've failed to say or do what you needed. In many ways, we're not ready for the deep water. But this week, I imagined CMC as the body of Christ, as Jesus. And I was Simon Peter. Indulge me for a minute. CMC as Jesus, and me as Simon Peter. I don't know why you chose my boat, but choose you did, and I'm so pleased. This boat has become a safe place. I hear your call. Push off into the deep water and let down your nets. I have reservations about the deep water, and I don't even have the credentials of Simon. I've never worked all night. Like Peter, who said, "Go away from me, Lord." I confess sometimes I'd rather you just went away. I'm so aware of my own smallness, sin, and distraction. But I hear your word. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people into the net of grace and truth and resurrection. In the scriptures, before the day is over, Simon is on his knees. Before the day is over, other fisher folk are on board with Jesus' gospel campaign. Their names are James and John. No mention yet of Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, but they'll soon be on the way. Before the day is over, the utterly unexpected happens. Two boatloads of fish are hauled in by amazed disciples. Before the day is over, when the boats reach the shore, the disciples left everything, laid down their lives, their nets, their catch, their boats, their livelihoods to follow Jesus. And that was only the beginning.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is Jesus, I Believe You're Near, written by Matt Carlson. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.